And thanks everyone for coming. The month of Iyar has two modern Jewish holidays in it, Yom HaTzma'ut on Hey Iyar, and Yom Yerushalayim on the 28th on Chof Ches Iyar, which is today. And there's no doubt that the first of the two represents Eretz Yisrael, the second represents Yerushalayim, and the connection between the two is obvious. Yerushalayim is the heart of Eretz Yisrael. It's the sanctity. It's that which spreads out and encompasses all of Yerushalayim, all of Eretz Yisrael. I want to call your attention to a machlokas tanoim in the Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara wants to know about the haftorah of Parshas Achrimos, and whether or not we should recite it. That sounds a little odd, but believe it or not, although la halacha we do permit reciting that haftorah, in the Gemara itself, the Tanoim were not all thrilled about it. It wasn't a davar poshut. And Rav Shechter in his Sefer Nefesh HaRav has a long, long essay called Binyanei Eretz Yisrael V'Yushalayim. At the end of this long essay, Mamish, like 20 pages into it, he mentions that the Rav Zichron Levracha was very opposed to those who would criticize Yerushalayim, and especially those who were not involved in what you would call constructive criticism. They weren't giving good etzes, you know, how to improve. They were just being makatrig. They were just saying negative things about Yerushalayim and about Eretz Yisrael. And this kind of approach, which very often is, you know, hurled at the so-called chilonim and the secular nature of the state of Israel, this did not sit well with Rav Soloveitchik. And more than once, he would mention the machlokes tanoim about the haftorah for Achrei Mos. The haftorah for Achrei Mos is what's called To'evos Yerushalayim, whereas the Haftorah for Kedoshim, because very often Achrimos and Kedoshim are read together, is Halo Kivnei Kushiyim Atem, which although it does touch on some negative aspects of Yerushalayim, but nevertheless, all in all, it's full of Divrei Nacham, of consolation. In contrast, the Haftorah for Achrimos is pure negativism. And the Gemara tells the following story, that once somebody got up, and the Gemara in Megill quotes a Braisa Masechta Sofrim, and he was reading right near Rabbi Eliezer, who was the Tana who was opposed. He was reading this Haftorah for Parshas Kedoshim, Hoda, which means to know or let known, Es Yerushalayim Es Tovoseha. Those disgusting things, the corruptions of Yerushalayim. So the Tanna Rebbe Elazar turned to him, he says, Ad shata bodek b'toevos Yerushalayim, tse ubdok b'toevos imecha. Go check out your mother. And the Braisa says, Bodku achrov, Umatsu Shaya Mamzer. They found out that his yichus was not pure. And the Rav said that even though we passing like the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer, and we allow reading that Haftorah, however, since these two parshios, Achrimos Kedoshim, are most frequently joined together, we're machmir for the sheet of Ein Maftirim B'Toevis Yerushalayim, and therefore we read Kivnei Atem Kivnei Kushim Atem, which means Haftorah for Kedoshim instead of Haftorah for Achrimos. And the Avudraham says that even though there are two minhagim, in general, whether you read the Haftorah the first or the second parasha when they're combined, And generally we tend to read the Haftorah of the second parasha, but in this case, when Achri Mos and Kedoshim together, we read the Haftorah for Achri Mos. Did I get that right? I forgot what I said before. But anyway, the Haftorah for Achri Mos is the Haftorah of Halo Atem Kivnei Kushiyim Atem. I may have switched it before, I don't remember. Now, the Rav points out that the minigin litta was that even when Parshas Kedoshim comes as a separate parsha, nevertheless, it usually falls out on Rosh Chodesh or on Erev Rosh Chodesh, and therefore the Haftorah would be Shama HaShamayim Kisi or Mochar Chodesh. And the Rav says that in litta, the minig was that even if Parshas Kedoshim came out separately without Akrimos, and even if it was not Erev Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Chodesh, they would reread the Haftorah that they had read the previous Parsha, and Akrimos, Haloat Kivnei Kushiyim Atem, and not read the Haftorah for Parshas Kedoshim, which is Toevis Yushalayim, not to violate the Das of Rabbi Elezer, who says, "Ein maftirim b'toevos Yerushalayim." And perhaps the reason why we're so machmir for this sheet, even though we don't paskin like him, is because of that story where they actually checked out the person who was reading the Haftorah and they found him to be a mamzer. He says, "Ein anu marshim lebala maftir limtoach bikores al Yerushalayim." We will not allow the Bala Maftir to criticize Yerushalayim. And the Rav says that the Ramban's question in Parshas Shlach with regard to the Meraglim, what was so wrong and what was the severe sin of the Meraglim? After all, they were sent Losur Esaretz to give an evaluation of the land of Israel. As far as they would understand that evaluation, which is exactly what they did. So all they did was tell the truth. What was their chet? And the Rav quoted the Netziv, that the Netziv derived from the chet of the Meraglim a proof. This proves that as far as Eretz Yisrael is concerned, we are enjoined from speaking even truth, if it's bitter, if it's negative. The Afal HaEmes Yesh Iser Lashon Hara. But what's the Chiddush of the Netziv? And we know that there's an Iser Lashon Hara even if you tell the truth. But what's the Chiddush of the Netziv? Who were they talking? Who were they talking to Eretz Yisrael? Which person were they speaking Lashon Hara about? Nobody. They were speaking about the land. So the Chiddush of the Netziv is that there's an Iser Lashon Hara even about the land, specifically about the land of Israel. He says, the afshetzrichim uchuyovim hayu amaraglim limsar doch. They should have, and they had to present a testimony and evaluation about Eretz Yisrael. Ach lo hayu lahem lahagid es kol ha-emes. They shouldn't have told all the truth. And it's very similar to this idea in the Mishnah in Megillah of Rabbi Elezer, ein maftirim b'toevos Yerushalayim. So what I want to talk to you about this evening is the fact that Yerushalayim is called by David HaMelech in Tehillim, Ir Shechubra LaYachdov. The Yerushalmi Chagiga says about Yerushalayim that Yerushalayim is meant to bring us all together, to connect all Jews to one. So the Achdus of Klal Yisrael is reflective of the very essence of Yerushalayim. And I think the entire month of Iyar, as far as it commemorates these days, should really bring home to everyone, every Jew in his heart, the idea of Kechubra LaYachdov. And I think especially meaningful as we come closer to Chag HaShavuos and Kabbalah HaTorah Vayichad Shom Yisrael, that the Kabbalah should be Yachdov and leave out the criticism. Because the criticism against Eretz Yisrael, I think, erodes and undermines our commitment to the land. And even if we know it's not exactly the dream that we wanted it to be, not yet at least, or as Rav Kook would said about those who aren't religious, he would call them Od lo shomrei Torah mitzvot. You know, he wouldn't call them chilonim. That wasn't his style. And it was these chalutzim that came to the land of Israel and built it up. What we have to do in a positive way is try to build up the land instead of criticizing. And this kind of criticism, I want to point out to you, is what the Gemara says, Hoshea HaNavi was punished severely, was guilty of this crime. The Gemara Psachim on Pei Zayin Amid Beis, it's part of a very long Agadata. The Gemara says the following, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, let me show you this Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Mai Dichsiv, a pasuk in Mishle. Okay, we'll read the pasuk in Mishle. Al Talshein Eved El Adonov. You know, this Halshana means when you snitch. Don't snitch about the Eved to his master. Penye Kalelcha Va'ashamta. Of course, you'll get a curse for that, and you'll be guilty. Al timsar din al adam litzok olav lakodesh baruch. Don't come in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam with cries. That's how Rashi interprets this pasuk of Mishle in his Pirush al Tanakh. In front of the Ribbono Shel Olam to come with complaints and cries against so and so, and how much more so in the case of Hoshea, who came to cry in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam against Klal Yisrael. And the very next pasuk in Mishle, the Gemara quotes here in Psachim, Uksiv, Dar Aviv Yekalel. The generation of Hoshea was a generation that was guilty of cursing its father. We'll see that means its father in heaven. V'yas'imo lo yevarech, and it did not say any good things or blessings about its mother. And it seems that this prohibition, which Mishle formulates, Al Talshein Eved, don't speak about the Eved, is as a result of the fact that it's a Dar Aviv Yikalel. So the Gemara asks the question, I don't understand. Mishum Dar Aviv Yikalel, Al Talshein. I mean, the logic should be just the reverse. If it's a Dar that wouldn't be Makalel's father, then I could understand Al Talshein, but a Dar that curses its father, what is this command of Al Talshein? Ella, the Chiddush is, Afilu Dar Sha'aviv Yikalel. Even a generation that's guilty of being Makalel, Kaviyachal, its father, Al Talshein Evel Adonov. And we learn this, as the Gemara, from Hoshea, that even though Bnei Yisrael in that generation were chotim, nevertheless, Hoshea violated the sin of Al Talshein because he was malshin against Klal Yisrael. And, you know, one of the greats on Agadita, in terms of the commentaries, because it's not always easy to find good insights into Agadita, is the Ben Yehoyada. And he writes the following. He says, why does the pasuk identify the sin of that dar of Hoshea as the sin of Makal Aviv? In other words, they were lacking in Kibud Av. What about all the other Averis Chamuris that were violated in that generation of Hoshea? Says the Ben Yehoyada, Mishum Shalimud Zchus Lahatzel Es Yisrael Men Aperonios K'shem Chotim. How do we come forward to try to save the Jewish people when they sin? What can we say? What's their merit in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Shegam k'she'ena osim ritzono shel makom kruyim banim. And this is based on the statement of Rav Meir in Kiddushin Lamed Vav of shemachal kvodo kvodo machul, that since Klal Yisrael are considered banim, a father is within his rights to be mochel and pardon his son, even though his son violated Kibud Av. V'imchatu b'kvod aviv, if they sinned in kvod shamayim, in kvod of their father, yesh makom lomar, there's plenty of room to say that now that they were guilty of this sin, that's how far they went,
Lo tatzilo sometaine zushal av shemochal kvodo, kvodo mochul. If they violated this avera, then why should the father be mochel? And that's what the Gemara is telling us. Rabbi Yochanan, name Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the guilt of the Hoshea. Shafilu darsha aviv kilel yikalel. Even if Klal Yisrael were guilty for this sin, and why should the Av be mochel? Al talshin eved el adonov. And the proof from Hoshea, says the Ben Yoda, and the punishment that he suffered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omar Lo, God says to Hoshea Navi, Banecha Chatu, and he was waiting, he was anticipating for some answer, some defense, that Hoshea would put forth an argument to protect Klal Yisrael. And what did Hoshea do? He was strict about the din, and he said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Kevin Shechatu, Heviram Bu'uma Acheres, find a different nation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiskim imo v'omar lo shehaya tzarech lo lamed aleihem zchus, that despite their guilt for such averes chamuros and even kibud av, and they don't deserve mechila from the father, they were mevaz of the father, nevertheless you Hoshea as the Navi, as a representative of Klal Yisrael, should have had compassion on Klal Yisrael. I gave you the opening to come forward and say words of defense of Sanigoriyot, Lelamed Aleihem Zchus. So even a Dor Sha'oviv Yikalel, Al Talshin Eved Al Adonov. You know, what you say to, as a Navi to the people, to castigate them, to give them Musa for their sins, that's one thing. But to come in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and say those words that he should substitute a different nation for Klal Yisrael, that you overstepped your bounds. And that's taking Halshana too far when you malshed the Eved in front of his Adon. And for that, Hoshea was punished severely. So we see how important it is to be matzdik Klal Yisrael and not to speak about Toevos, Chas v'Shalom, but to find some sort of limud zchus. And what I'd like to do is connect an archaim together with something that I saw in the name of the Rav in another book of Rav Shechter called Divrei HaRav, and put this all together. The archaim HaKadosh says on the parash of Mitzora, and the reason why I relate back to the parash of Mitzora is because this whole concept of being malshin of Lashon Hara is directly related to the parsha of Mitzora. Why? Correct. It's the punishment for Tzaraas, the punishment for Lashon Hara is Tzaraas. And the Archaim is Medayik in the parsha. It says, Adam ki yeh ba'ar b'saro. Se'esol sapachas. It says, be'ar b'saro. And according to the Archaim, the Torah could have left out the word ar, and it was deliberately added to teach us a lesson. He says, V'omro ki yeh bi'ar b'saro. Why bi'ar b'saro? Modia hakosuv she'ein tumas tzaras be'ish ha'yisraeli ela bi'ar b'saro. It's only external. V'lo bifnim. Now here's a person who was so corrupt that he spoke negatively against his fellow Jew. But nevertheless, the tzaras that is the phenomenon that expresses and reflects his guilt, even that is only bi'ar v'lo bifnim. Ki ha'umos, as far as other nations of the world is concerned, b'chinas nafsham atzma hi b'chinas atzaras u'minam. Their tzaras goes all the way in. But u'b'nefesh Yisrael, b'pogo bom l'tzad achet asher chatu yirsham mare tzaras bi'ar b'saro. Dafka bi'oro v'lo b'psoro v'eino b'pnimiyuso. The R here, according to the Archaim HaKadosh, represents symbolically the externality of the Jewish people, of the sinner. But b'fnim, in his essence, in his inner personality, he was not guilty. The tumah is only on the outside. And here's where I want to show you something because I looked up, you know, in a number of Sfarim that quote the Rav on the Parsha. It's very hard to organize the Rav's insights into Parsha. When I was in the Shia, he didn't teach us Parsha. But in Divrei HaRav, he has something fascinating in Parshas Tazria, which I think should be directly connected to the Archaim. Of course, the Rav doesn't quote the Archaim. I don't know.
It was in his library.
It may have been in his library, I doubt it. But it certainly wasn't on his table. But the Rav finds a different code word, and it's fascinating to me that the Rav points to a certain code word and learns from when it is written in the Torah, and even when it's omitted in the Torah, from the omission, he derives conclusions. He goes back to the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, which is obviously the parasha of Karbonos, when a chote comes to bring a karbon, and the Torah says, Adam ki yakriv mikem. And the word mikem, which by the way appears here at the beginning of Vayikra, and it's omitted in Parshas Tazria, is a code word. And it touches on the very motivation that brings about the havas ha-karbon when a Jew brings a karbon. What's mikem? He says the Torah uses the word mikem, or mitochechem sometimes, to emphasize that when a Jew sins, you would think that a sinner is not going to be so eager to bring a karbon. But the Torah says, Adam ki yakriv mikem. Mikem means that it comes from his inner being. He desires more than anything to bring a karbon. We know that the word karbon, the shorish of the word is what?
Karav.
Karav. He wants to come closer to Hashem. He sinned. But the very moment he sins, something inside of him yearns to reestablish that close relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when it comes to the Parsha of Mitzora, the Rav points out, you won't find the word Mikem or any word similarly that would indicate that the sin of the Mitzora is Mikem. It's from his inner will. Adam kiye be'ar besar se'eso sapachas o beheres hamila mikem einan iskeres. You won't see the word mikem. And the Rav goes on to say that betoch kol Yehudi, within every Jew, and I would put this together with the piece of the Rav on the Minhag not to recite the Haftorah of Kedoshim, because it's the Ein Darshin Eim Aftir B'Toevis Yerushalayim, put it together with this piece on Parashas Mitzora. B'toch Yehudi Yesh Mashu Torashti U'Pnimi, there's something hereditary and internal. Asher Tamid Yachol Ovil Et Adam L'Gdula L'Gvohim Ruchaniyim. And he says, even Afilu Kasher Yehudi Shokel Adargesh Mitzora, somehow he's corrupt and he's now a Mitzora, Ein Zeh Mikem. He says, "Who says out the sin, the corruption is a result of ikvot hashpaot chitzoniot, external pressures. But as far as the structure of a Jew and his inner desire, he says, Hamivne ruchani shal yudi eino matim lechet, eino mesugal lecholel chet mibifnim. The chet is not on the inside; it's not intrinsic; it's only on the outside." And to demonstrate this, the Rav quotes the famous Rambam at the end of the second parak of Gittin. Excellent. What's the case? Do you remember, Eli, what the case is?
Let me say, he beat him and he says, Ratzah.
Correct. There's a case of a Jew who's forced to give a get up. He did. He asked to divorce his wife, but he refused to do so. We beat him up. Kofen also. And at what point do we free him of the, you know, until he's black and blue? Achiyom and Ratzah. So the Rambam himself, which is unusual, asks the Kasha, I mean, one of the Yesodas of Get is the Get has to be given Mirtzono, not Bal Korcho. So you beat him up until he says Rotzani. That's Mamish Bal Korcho. He refused. Bezin forced him. And you're saying that what? That he gave the Get Mirtzono. So the Rambam says that the reason why the Get is valid is because the inner personality of a Jew really desires to respond to the obligation imposed upon him by Bezdin to give the get, deliver the get and free his wife. But there are all sorts of external pressures that prevent him from doing so. And when Beis Din gives him Malkus and they beat him up, what they're doing is they're allowing his inner personality to come to the fore. They're beating up the Yetzer Hara, really. And his Pnimius now expresses itself in Rotzani, in his true desire. And I thought that this approach of the Rav is really supported by the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin. You may remember that the sugya there goes through all the different tefillos and bakashos that were recited by various Amoraim as additions, addendums to the Shmoneh Esrei, all kind of tzar. We have one particular one, there are many. One of them, Rav Alexander, I think it is, I have to remind myself, he declares, Ritzoni lasos ritzonecha. Elasar shebe Isa, v'shibet golios, ma'akvin al yodi. My inner will is to fulfill your will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are all sorts of external pressures that prevent me from doing so. And I think this concept of Ritzoni lasos ritzonecha, that declaration that the intrinsic personality, the essential personality of a Jew, is never corrupt, is really what's being said here by the Rav over and over again in different ways, in different fashions, in different expressions, and it really inheres in this Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. I would like to show you that the Rav is consistent in this approach. But before I show you another piece of the Rav, I wanted to discuss with you the Haftorah for Parshas Metzora. Since we're getting into this idea of the Chote, and Parshas Metzora represents that chet of Halshana, of looking for the negative and criticizing, speaking pejoratively about a fellow Jew, let's take a look for a moment at the Haftorah of Parshas Metzora. V'arbo ha'noshim ha'yu mitzorayim Pesach ha'shar V'yomru ishal re'eyu Mo'anachdu yoshvim Po'ad masnu Im amarnu Novo ha'ir v'arav ba'ir v'amastu sham V'im yashavnu po v'masnu V'at ha'lechu v'niplal machna aram Yim yichayunu The Torah opens up with a story about four Mitzorayim who were sitting outside the city, Chutzla Machne, and they were starving. And they turned one to the other and they said, how can we stay here? We'll die. Let's go to the city. The close city was the Machne of Aram. Aram was the arch enemy of the Jewish people. We have nothing to lose, only to gain. If they decide to kill us, well, we're going to die anyway. And who knows, maybe they will survive. Maybe somehow they'll have compassion on us. And the rest of the Haftorah describes the great miracle that took place. The Arba Mitzorayim came in to the Machne of Aram, and they found that it was completely desolate, that people had left, they had run away, and they started gouging themselves and eating. They were so hungry until finally they turned to each other and they said, this is terrible what we're doing. We have to immediately run to tell the people of Israel that this is what's going on, that there's a great Yeshua and a great Hatzalah, a great Nes from HaKadosh Baruch. Now, you should know that the Mefarshim, by and large, understand that the connection between Parshas Metzora, Haftoras Metzora, and Parshas Metzora is the fact that it opens with the story of the Arba Anoshim Hayu Metzoraim, but not everyone is very happy about that. That seems to be more technical. And other Mefarshim look for a deeper meaning in the connection between the Haftorah, the story of the Metzoraim, and Parshas Metzora. But before we get back to that point, let's mention that there's a kasha on this Haftorah of Parshas Metzora that's asked by many of the Mefarshim. Each one comes up with his take. We have a rule with regard to Haftoros that we never end the Haftorah, we never Messiah Haftorah with something ra, with something evil, with something
that would depress us. There's always an upbeat siyum to every haftorah. And yet, in the case of Parshas Mitzora, if you read the end of the haftorah, there's a story about Elisha Novi, the Isha Lokim, who tells the Melech at the time of the famine in the land, he says to him, you'll see it at the bottom, Sasayim Saorim Bishekel, Usa'os Solus Bishekel. He says, Hashem Ka'es Machar Bishar Shomron. So in the Haftorah of Parshas Mitzora, the Isha Lokim sends a message to the Melech that tomorrow there's going to be such a great Yeshua from Hashem that with one shekel there'll be such an abundance of food in the market that tomorrow a sasayim saorim, which is a huge amount of barley, will sell for a shekel. And a saw of soles, a very fine flour, will sell for a shekel. That's an amazing situation. Now, there was a shalish, a certain individual who was a sar gadol, who heard this nevuah from Elisha, and he responded by saying, Vayan ha-shalish es ish alokim vayomar, hine Hashem osa arubos v'shamayim. Are you telling me that they're going to be arubos v'shamayim, meaning the rains are going to fall and there'll be plenty, or the food will fall from heavens? Hayia kadover hazeh. He cynically said, could that be? Vayomer, and the Novi responded, Hincha roa beinecha, you yourself will witness this great miracle, but umisham lo tochel, but you will not eat from the plenty. Vahilo came, and that's exactly what happened. And the very next day, Vayirmasu oso ha'om bishar vayomos. He was trampled to death at the shar. So this shalish, who is a Jew, who was a very chosh v'sar in the king's court, he died. And that's how the Haftorah ends. So the Mefarshim ask, how could this be? Violates the rule. They misayimim ha-seder b'dover ra. And Ramah in Shulchan Aruch Simon Kuf Lamed Ches in Or Chaim, he says, V'yisayim b'dover tov. That every single Haftorah should end with the Dover Tov. And this seems to be a violation of that rule. How could it be? So there are some of Farshim who raise the question, what was the Avera of this Shalish? And why was it so severe that he deserved that punishment of death? And the Siyum of death violates the principle of Al Talmud B'Dover Ra. So some Mefarshim want to say that Misa is a kapara for a person. And therefore, whatever this Avera was, the Shlish died and his death was a kapara. And that's not called a Dover Ra. Again, exactly what his sin is, most Mefarshim understand that since he was loeg, he made fun, he was facetious about the declaration of the Navi, is Pogam be'Elisha Navi, and that's called a Pagima in the basics of Yiddishkeit, in one of the fundamentals of the faith. He was mamish denying the Koch of Nevuah. And perhaps this siyum is a siyum b'dover tov in a sense, because what it does is it indicates the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against those who deny him or his power. Here the shlish was pogam and Elisha Novi, he was loeg, and that's a pogam on a very, very high, fundamental, severe level. And the punishment for such a crime, when HaKadosh Baruch is manish over Ritzono, that itself, that Piranius, that Piron, is itself a Gili of Kvod Shamayim. And that makes it a Dover Tov. So there are many different approaches to how to justify the end of the Haftorah for Parshas Metzora. And what I want to share with you is the insight of the Shalah. The Shalah says that he quotes a Chacham Rabbi Avram Alevi, I don't know who it is, Shera, this Rabbi Avram testifies that he saw B'medrash Ksivas Yad B'Eretz HaMarav. He saw some manuscript of a medrash. Apparently we don't have this medrash. We don't know about it. In the Eretz Marav, maybe in Eretz Yisrael, that says Hashlish Nenash, that the punishment for the Shlish, Sha'amah, was because he said, Hine Hashem Ose Arubos Bashamayim. Hayiya Kedavra said, the Arubos Bashamayim is the code word that gives away the secret. Do you know what Arubos Bashamayim symbolizes? We find Arubos Bashamayim in a different parasha, correct? And that's the parasha of the Mabul. Right? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Arubos Bashamayim Niftechu. Now, by utilizing the words Arubos Bashamayim, according to this Medrash in Rabbi Avram, the Kisvei, the Ksav Yad, Kach Omar, this was what the Shalish was saying, was declaring. He says, Vare Hashem Yochol Lasos. He didn't deny that God has the power to do so. Other Mefarshim say that the sin of the Shalish was a sin of Kfira. He denied the divine power to do such a miracle. No. According to the Medrash, God could do such a thing. No problem. God is omnipotent. Achador Azeh Kedor HaMabul. He was saying something about the door. Sheroui hoya sheyat yeosu arubos bashamayim. What this door is worthy of, said that shalish, is arubos bashamayim, meaning they're like the door of Mabul. He was equating the door of Bnei Yisrael to the door of Mabul. Eich efshar shel door rakozeh yanes nasa nes gadol kozeh. Hey shivo alisha novi. Therefore, Yirev lo Yochal, the swift and very severe punishment will come to the Shalish because of what? Shalimed Kategoria al Yisrael. We see over and over again that Kategoria al Yisrael, something has to be avoided at all costs. And in this case, because the Shalish was Malavi Kategori to say in front of the Ribbono Shel, to say out loud that Bnei Yisrael are like the Dor of Mabul, those words cannot be tolerated. And the punishment would be severe and swift. You're playing with fire when you speak against Klal Yisrael. And to add to this, the Hakdama of the Chofetz Chaim to his book that's dedicated to the Isur of Lashon Hara. And the Chofetz Chaim writes, Dvar Madhimim. I mean, it's famish make your hair stand on it. He says, Hatam Shechmira Torah Kol Kach Bazeha Ovon. Why is it that the punishment for Lashon Hara is so severe? Mishum Shema Orer Bazeh Harbe Es HaMakatrek HaGodol Al Klal Yisrael. There's something up in heaven, some sort of Sar or Malach who's called the Makatrek HaGodol. I don't know what he looks like, but whatever it is, it's not a good thing. He's the Makatrek HaGodol who comes as the prosecuting attorney to bring in front of the Kisei HaKov, in front of the Bezin Shel Mala, the Kitrug, the negativism of Klal Yisrael. Val Yedezeh Horeg Kama Anoshim B'Kama Medinos. Scary. The Chofetz Chaim claims that Lashon Hara, because it somehow is Me'orer, it gives power to the Makatrek HaGodol against Klal Yisrael, therefore Jews will die in many different countries, in many different places. So in effect, the Baal Lashon Hara is causing the death of Jews all over the world. And therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, quoting a Gemara in Erechin, called Mesaper Lashon Hara, Magdil Avonos Ad Lashamayim.
So this is a terrible thing that Lashon Hara basically creates kitrug against Klal Yisrael. And he completes his introduction with the words, "Mizenu chaledes godel achurban shemachrivim bali aloshen es klal Yisrael." You know, we think that a Baal Lashon Hara is doing something against one Jew and he'll suffer, he'll be punished. This is considered a kitrug against all of Klal Yisrael. It's not against one Jew. And it has a tremendous impact. We see over and over again that kitrug against Klal Yisrael is so severe. And there's a famous vart from Rav Meir Simcha, the Or Sameach, in which he speaks about the possibility that Hashem will overlook the sins of Klal Yisrael when they are together, when they work in tandem. This is Rav Meir Simcha on the Pasuk V'amayim Lahem Choma Miminam Umismalam. And he writes me, "Is bodenus bedivrei haTorah nire ki b'mitzvos masios avodah zarah v'arayos yesh kares uskila ushar misos umalkos lo kein b'ninusios ubemidos k'mo machlokes lashon hara rechilus gezel ein bolo malkus havilav anitham tashlumen holav shein bol maisa." He says the punishment for crimes that are bein adam l'makom. For example, he gives the example of a avodah zarah, they're punishable by death. And yet when it comes to Bein Odom L'Chavero, he calls it Nimusios, Amidos, Machlokos, Lashon Hara, Rechilus, etc. He says, there we find no punishment. Says Rav Simcha, Gevaldige Chiddush, Ulam Zeu Dafka B'Yachid Ha'oseh. When the Avera is violated by the individual, Aval Imat Sibur Nishchasim, if Chas V'Shalom, the entire tzibur of Klal Yisrael, are guilty of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, of Sinas Chinam, he says, Bazem Atzanu Lehepach. We find the exact opposite. Everything is topsy-turvy. And this is in the Yushalmi and Peah. The Yushalmi says, the beginning of Peah, Doro Shel David Kulam Tzadikim Hayu, V'al Yidei Shehayu Behem Diltorim Hayu Noflim B'Melchama. Diltorim means when there's friction and there's slander between one Jew and another. And therefore, in that door, many Jews fell in the battlefield. Aval Doro Shal Achav, says the Yerushalmi, Ov the Avodah Zarah Hayu, Vayidei Shalom Hayu Bahen Diltorim, Hayu Yoredin Levilchamu Menatzchim. So it comes out like this. Says Rav Meir Simcha, if the Tzibur is guilty of Avodah Zarah Narayis, so the Pasuk says in Vayikut Tezayin HaShochein Itam B'toh Tum Asam, and the Gemara in Yuma says that God is with them in there, even though they're Tmeim in Avodah Zarah Narayis, and God will overlook it even though the entire Tzibur is guilty of those sins. Avol B'ni Musios Umidos Roshen Horamach Lokas Alzek Siv Ruma Al HaShamayim Kaviyochol Salik Shechinosameyem Siluk Shechina. The worst of punishments, when the klal and the tzibur is guilty in areas of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. L'chein al chil Shabbos b'avonoseinu harav mishenispashet, says Rav Meir Simcha, that apparently in his time already chil Shabbos was such an issue. Ya'acher lehem ha'onesh ki heim tzibur. God will still be compassionate because of the tzibur. He says, even with regard to avodah zarah, v'nichrasa, the Sifri says, "Ein atzibur nichrasim." Aval, he cries out, "Kevan sheparzu b'nimusios." If the people, if the community is guilty of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, holchim b'charevos v'chitzim, imem nichrasim emidos, is then oz nakom yinkam Hashem v'lo ya'acher. A dar that's guilty in nimusios, when there's no togetherness, there's no achdus, when there's lashon hara and those kind of averos, chas v'shalom to even think what could be, what kind of nekama Hashem might take out on the people of Israel, chas v'shalom. And sometimes I wonder if from Meir Simcha, in this piece, in this essay, in the parsha of B'shalach, is not perhaps foretelling the terrible churban that transpired in Europe at the time
following Rav Meir Simcha's death, and maybe the people of Israel, Chas V'Shalom, were guilty of these kinds of crimes in Nimusios, in a lack of peace, in a lack of harmony, in a lack of unity, and that's why the punishment was so severe. So there's a fascinating conclusion here. When it comes to Anshei Beis Din, then when it's a Maisa Avera, an Avera Chamura in Bein Adam L'Makom, the punishment is extreme, severe. But when it comes to an individual with regard to Bein Adam L'Chavero, we don't find so much of punishment. But when it reaches the level of Tzibur, the whole thing is inside out, upside down. As we say in Yiddish, Pumfakir. When there's an Avera of the Tzibur, then, with regard to things that come under ritual law, Beinon Lamokom, the example he gives is Avodah Zarah, God is Shochein Ita B'toch Tumasam. He looks aside and he protects us from terrible punishment. But with regard to the Tzibur and Beinon L'Chavero, then the punishment is swift and severe, Chas V'Shalom, heaven forbid. Now, I have in my hands a Sefer. Take a look at it. It's a Sefer Kinnis. The truth is that on a day, a happy day like Yom Yerushalayim, which is so meaningful for us, in which we rejoice and we recite Hallel and we thank Hashem, this Sefer seems to be muktzah. It's almost something that you don't want to touch and take into your hands. You know, as soon as you take up the Sefer Kinnis, and in my case, I've been using this Sefer year after year, you know, it's kind of frightening. It's kind of depressing. It's like muktzah, you know, nobody wants to touch it. But nevertheless, today I want to take the Sefer HaKinnis and read something to you, one particular kinnah from, of course, Rabbi Elazar Kalir. And the reason I want to do so is because what you find in the kinnahs, in a very paradoxical way, are statements, sometimes they're not explicit, they're allusions and they're hints, that speak about the greatness of Klal Yisrael. And dafka mitoch avelus, there's some sort of simcha, in a very odd way. And I may have told you this in the past, that the Rav Zichron Levracha used to read kinnis with us. He would interpret the kinnis, he would share with us his insights, especially into Rav Elazar Kalir, who considered like a Tana. We would start at 9 in the morning on Tisha B'Av, sit on the ground, sit on the floor, and go. The Rav would go till 5 o'clock, and he would read one line in Rav Elazar Kalir, and he would either ask a question or answer a question and give his interpretation. It became such a tradition almost that people look forward to Tisha B'Av, because it was phenomenal to be there with the Rav when he read Tisha B'Av. I remember one of the Rabbanim wished his colleague, his rabbinic friend, Agud Yontif on Tisha B'Av. You know, it was just such a wonderful experience and so powerful. And I think that the Rav, perhaps more than anyone else, saw in the kinnis a revelation or an emphasis on the glory of Knesset Yisrael, on the greatness of the people of Israel. And this one kinnah in particular, and we all owe a tremendous gratitude to Rabbi J.J. Schechter, who has published a book, a compilation of that. It's not just an anthology in a very intelligent way, and he integrates the Rav's insights into kinnahs over the course of many years into a book called The Lord is Righteous. And I would like to share with you one particular kinnah which I think fits into everything else that we've discussed about the Rav and what he says. I photocopied the pages that are relevant, and you'll see them beginning on page 199. And let's see if we can follow what the Rav says inside. If you have the kinnis of Art Scroll, you'll find this kinnis, which is called Chav Zion, according to this numbers, on page 282. And the English is, of course, on 283. And again, it's a difficult kinnis to read. The Rav really breaks it open, so to speak. He really reveals the inner pshat in which he bases himself on a comparison between this kina and a mishnah in the Sechta Nedarim. It's a brilliant, brilliant comparison. We'll see it inside. In this kina, which we say on Tisha B'Av, as I said, there's some good in kina, some good tidings, so to speak. The Rav, very consistently with everything that we've seen, reveals something. The kina starts, Oz bimlos sefek, yafa kitirza ben chilkiyo mearmon kiyotza isha yifas toar minuvelas motza. So the background to this kina is a psikta rabosi, which tells of a story in which Yirmiyahu returned to Yerushalayim. This is after the Churban. And he meets a woman sitting on a mountaintop, clothed in black, her hair disheveled. And she cries out, "Who will console me?" So if you take a look at the kinnah by Rabbi Elezer HaKalir, he says, I'll read it in the English translation here in the art scroll, he says, "Then with the measure of sin, which was filled by Israel, who is as beautiful as Tirza," then it says, Yirmiyahu, the son of Chilkiyahu, departed from the temple, and he met a woman of beautiful features who was filthy. He said, "I command you in the name of God and man, Gozrani alayach, b'shem Elokim v'adam, im shed la shedim at oliv ne'adam." Identify yourself. He commanded her, "Are you one of the demons, or are you human?" He says, "Dmus yafyech kibasav adam. The features and your graceful appearance resembles flesh and blood. But pachtech vir osech kemalochim levado." Pachtech is the reverence, and the awe etched on your features is unique to the angels. "Hey, lo shade ani," she replies, "I'm not a shade. Yidua ha'isi b'shuva v'nachas, at times of tranquility and serenity I was renowned." And then she describes herself as the spirit of the Jewish people. She represents the people of Israel. She speaks about the aristocratic nature of the people of Israel before this terrible tragedy, before the Churban. Hainli echad an ani, she compares herself to the number one. L'shlosha, to number three. L'shneimasar, to number 12. Shishim v'yachas. Shivim v'yachas. Echad, she says, as Avraham Avinu, he's the greatest of the Avos. Shlosha represents the Shlishiyah of the Avos. Shneimasar, heinein shiftei ka. Shishim, ribu, represent the 600,000 Jews. Shivim v'yachad, the Sanhedrin, ka. So the Rav said the following. He says, we recite a kina by Kalir, which begins, "Uz bimlot sefek," in which the Jewish people appear to the prophet Yirmiyahu in the guise of an elderly woman, dressed in black, disguised as a widow. But the woman appears, represents herself on the one hand with traces of aristocracy, of past glory, beauty, but now she's in poverty. Kalir refers to her as an Isha yifator minuvelet. Very strange. On the one hand, she's good looking, she has beautiful qualities, but at the same time, she's obnoxious, she's repulsive, she's unclean, she's disheveled. She was both at the same time. And the Rav says that sometimes a person could be born with great talent, outstanding personal qualities, kochos ha-nefesh, he's good looking, he's honest, sincere, he's capable, but under certain circumstances, he's pushed into a different world, a world of evil. He becomes corrupt. This is the meaning of Yifas Toar, good-looking by nature, tremendous potential, but minuvelis, ugly, untidy. And in this kina, Yirmiyahu engages this woman in conversation, in dialogue. He tells her, "You look like a woman, like a human being, but you inspire feelings that are not normal. You inspire the strange feeling of awe, of terror. That's unusual for a human being. You are a being, but not of this world, but from an outside world, a world that's grim and grisly. Pachtech v'yir osech.
Pachtech, he says, is the sense of awe and reverence. It only belongs to the angels, to some transcendental world, not to an ordinary human being. So Yirmiyahu could not recognize her because she had changed so much. It's not the same person she knew. And when he asks her to identify herself, she does so in a very strange manner. This woman is a symbol of Knesset Yisrael, and the entire kinnah reflects an idea that goes back to a Mishnah. Let me read to you the Lashon of the Mishnah, which I have here. It's in the Nedarim Daf Samech Vav Amud Aleph. Maisa bi'echad shenodar mibasachoso hanah. He took upon himself a neder not to have any anah from the daughter of his sister. You know that you're supposed to marry the daughter of your sister. V'chnisua l'bayis. And Rabbi Shmuel, and they brought her into the house of Rabbi Shmuel v'ipuha, and they beautified her. Amalo Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel turns to the uncle and he says, "Bini, mizuna darta." All of a sudden he realizes, "Hey, she's pretty good looking." Amalo la v'itira Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Shmuel was matir her. The Mishnah tells a story about people who wanted to marry off a member of the family to a certain girl, but he did not like her because she was ugly. And he was afraid that the pressure to marry her would be brought to bear upon him. He took a vow not to do so. But afterwards, they took her in, they washed her, they cleaned her up. I guess they sent her to a cosmetician. They dressed her properly in a beautiful dress. As a result, her appearance changed. She came out and the man thought she was a different woman. He liked her, he regretted having taken the vow. He had thought she was ugly, but in fact she was not ugly at all. And the Mishnah says Rabbi Shmuel allowed him to marry her by finding a Pesach, an opening and annulling the vow. He said to him, "Is this the woman regarding whom you vowed?" The man responded, "No." But at the end of the Mishnah, Ba'osa Shah, Bacha Rabbi Shmuel V'yomar, Binos Yisrael knows, and Elisha Anius Menavloson. The Mishnah concludes by saying that Rabbi Shmuel wept and he declared, "The daughters of Israel are beautiful, but poverty makes them ugly." The Rav says that Rabbi Shmuel in this statement is not referring to physical beauty of Jewish women, but to Knesset Yisrael as a whole, to their spiritual component. His comment pertains to the abasement of the Jew. Knesset Yisrael yafehi. The whole of Knesset Yisrael is good looking, pretty, beautiful. Intrinsically, Knesset Yisrael is noble, good, holy. Of course, if she becomes corrupted, she becomes ugly. But that corruption is external. It's never intrinsic. Right? Send her for Yipui. It never becomes part of her personality. Intrinsically, she's noble, she's good, she's holy. Her innermost personality is beautiful, but Hanios Menavlosam. Again, Hanios, says the Rav, is symbolic of the long exile over 1900 years that's responsible for our ugliness. And here the Rav adds a beautiful idea. He says, this is the underlying idea of tshuva. Tshuva is based on this concept. If a Jew is corrupt and completely defiled, how can he raise himself by his own willpower? How can he do tshuva? It's only possible because there's something that's never corrupted, something beautiful within him, a spark that can never be extinguished. Yes, Knesset Yisrael may be menuvelet, but the nivel is external, it's extraneous. The yofi, the beauty, is intrinsic. The circumstances of the long exile of over 1900 years of persecution, that we are vagrants, we're wanderers, we experience homelessness, we travel from country to country, we face deportations, ridicule, hostile environments. These are responsible for the ugliness from which time to time we exhibit. Sometimes the Jew can be ugly, but intrinsically he's clean. He has an inner sanctity. Benos Yisrael knows, hey, the Jewish women are beautiful. Elisha Anius Menavlasosam. The Jews lived in poverty and deprivation, like on no other nation on the face of the earth for 1900 years of exile. And then he goes on to describe his childhood and what poverty they lived in Lithuania at that time. He goes on to tell a story about an old Jew that he met in America who came from a small town in Lithuania, arrived to the United States with 16 cents in his pocket, landed on Ellis Island, And the whole story goes on and on about how he went from job to job because he was a Shomer Shabbos and he kept getting fired. So he'd work from Monday till Friday, and then when they said to him, come in tomorrow, he would say, I can't come in, and I'm a Shomer Shabbos. They said, if you don't come in tomorrow, then don't come in at all. And finally, because the man was starving and the police found him on a bench in Central Park, finally he went back to the manager and he told him that he's ready to violate the Shabbos. He became a Michal Shabbos. It was the only way he could survive. But eventually, he got out of it, he started a business on his own, and he became a strict Shomer Shabbos. So you'll see how all these ideas of the Rav integrate to form one whole. That any sin, any corruption of the Jewish people, that's only an expression that's external to the person. That external to the Jewish nation. Intrinsically, they are Nikiyim and they are Tahorim. And therefore, to be Makatrik against Klal Yisrael is the worst sin. And it's not tolerated. So when we speak about the objection against reciting the Haftorah of Kedoshim, Parshas Kedoshim, because of Toevis Yerushalayim, this is a very, very central and very fundamental idea. That's what I wanted to share with you. I want to talk a little bit about the siyum I'm making tonight. It's a strange kind of siyum. It's not your classical one. And the person that, first and foremost, I have to thank for this siyum, I'm going to go in order, I hope I won't leave anyone out, is a young man by the name of Omri Zeifman, who Mr. Shem is getting married right after Shavuos, because he had this idea of recording my shiurim in Canada and putting them up on the YU Torah site. And frankly speaking, at the beginning of the project, I was a little bit, what's going on here? You know, who's going to listen? Oh, it's okay, I don't mind. And he did all the work. It's. I don't know if you know what it means to put a shiur up online. It's a whole to-do. You have to answer 50 million questions. You have to categorize it, makoros and topics and this. It's the YU site is very user-friendly. I don't know if you use it. You know, you can check by categories, by words. Like, there's so many different ways of accessing shiurim. And he started, it's about 2.5 years ago, to put up my shiurim online. And it became a tremendous thing. I want to tell you that people call me, they email me, and they... I mean, not long ago, I got a letter in the mail from somebody from the Five Towns. I didn't recognize it. I thought, man, I didn't know what it was. And then I opened it up. He's got two pages of typewritten Ha'aris on a shiur that I gave. And he wants to hear my opinion and this and that. I told him, I'm sorry, I'm a little out of the sugya. As soon as I get a couple of weeks to research, I'll be back in touch with you. And recently, just yesterday, somebody said he heard my shiur, it's a Ramban shiur on the Pasuk, Vashem Berech HaSavram Bakol. You know, the Ramban has this whole mystical insight in what it means Bakol, and I tried to explain it, Lefi Meitav Yecholti, and he really appreciated it. So it's an amazing tool, you know, with all the discussion about the internet, and this and that, but let's talk about the good things in the internet. And I want you to know that it's a motivating factor. You know, if you feel that there are people who could hear your Torah, you know, what does a Jew want more than people hearing his Torah? There's no greater desire that a person can have. So I owe him a great deal of hakaras hatov. It's tremendous. When I left Canada last July, he sat down with me with a great deal of patience to teach me how to do it. And, you know, they say you can't teach an old horse new tricks, but somehow I was able to pick it up. Again, I don't have all the tricks. He was able to integrate different recordings and put them all together. And it's amazing. It's amazing that I've been able to keep this up, even here in Queens, New York, and I hope to keep it up for years to come. And, you know, I've given different series of shiurim that are on the YU site. I gave a series on the Brisket Derech HaLimud. I gave a whole series, and I continue to give on the Ramban al Torah. I gave on Rav Scheinberg's Sefer Mishmeres HaChaim. Are you familiar with the Sefer? It's a wonderful, wonderful Sefer. Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg used to give on Thursday nights in his yeshiva in Torah Or a Mishmar. What was the Mishmar? he would come in, give a kasha, ask a kasha, and then he would walk out. He'd come back a half hour later, 45 minutes later, and he would pump the guys for whatever answers they could come up with, and then he said his Torah. And his grandson, Rav Mordechai Altusky Shlita, put together three volumes just based on those mishmaros, you know, those mishmaros on Thursday night, and it's a wonderful series. And I was learning with some chevra in Canada on a regular basis, once a week, sometimes even twice a week, the Mishmeres Chaim. What we would do is we would read, you know, the Kasha of Rav Scheinberg, and then we would try to answer it ourselves and then read the Mishmeres Chaim. And so forth and so on. I mean, I gave a series on every Yontif, and it's all there. And I didn't think I would be able to celebrate, and I appreciate that you chevra are here tonight, because I really want to celebrate the I call it a special mark that I reached, you know, a crossroads of 1,000 shiur. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It's a great feeling, I'm telling you. I was watching the numbers go, like I couldn't believe it. You know, it was like a ticker tape.
This one was just number 1,000?
This well, I'll tell you, it's very complicated. This number, I think, is 1,009. But the truth is, I really think it's number 1,000. I'll tell you why. Because a number of shiurim, I don't know what happened with the, you know, maybe I didn't do it right, the techniques, and I've gotten a few ha'aris that there's nothing on the line. You know, and I see, wait a minute, 67 people have gone on. You know, they tell you how many people, but there's no tape there. So the people are frustrated, and maybe they come back over and over again, and it's not online. So it's very hard for me to put up a shiur online, you know, months later. If they would have told me right away, I know where the shiur is, where the recording is. But Omri has helped me, even in that regard, to try to trace down a tape and find out where the recording is and then put it online. In a couple of cases, I was able to do that. I don't know if there are any repeats. You know, because who can remember? You know, I've been saying Ramban now for 3 years. I started 3 years ago. The Ramban is an exhilarating experience, very tough. But when you crack a Ramban, it's phenomenal. It's a Musa Sefer, it's Ashkofa Sefer, it's really, it's Parshanut, everything in one in the Ramban. So this is very exciting to me. I'm not sure again whether this year is number 1,000. It could be. It's possible. I'm not going to tell you that I know for sure.
We'll say it is.
We'll say it is. And, you know, it's really a great simcha for me. So let's, I don't know, cut the cake or whatever.
On it.
Yeah, right. You know, the Ramban in this past week's parsha, he speaks about the fact that the number 7, Alpi Kabbalah, the number 7 in the Shemitah year, represents the 7,000th year. Since creation, there are 6 cycles of 1,000 years each, until we enter into the 7th cycle, which is 1,000 years, and that cycle, that 1,000 years, represents Olam Haba. Again, I can't explain it to you. It's a very deep Ramban, Alpi Kabbalah. But it does seem that when it says in the pasuk, David HaMelech says ke'elef shanim be'necha, that the elef has a certain significance. And there are all sorts of people have coined different phrases. Like, for example, you've heard the phrase sorry ha'elef, and the number 1,000, I think, is a round number, and it definitely is a tziyun of sorts for me, and I hope that the Ribbono Shel Olam will give me the, you know, the koyach, and with my Revitzin who always supports me, and the Hamasiris Nefesh, everything is hers to continue in this way, and I hope that people will hear the Torah that I put online.
Shkoyach.
Yep. Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.